At this stage, we're going to have our scripture reading, and that's found in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, and chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and we will break into the chapter at the verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small. And thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Over the past number of days, we've been thinking and wondering and praying about this service this afternoon. And while this is a very difficult afternoon for you as a congregation and for the Nelson family also, sometimes what really to say may be difficult just to find. But the Lord has laid this verse 10 of Isaiah 41 very definitely upon my heart. And there he says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That has to be an encouragement both to the preacher in his departure and to the congregation as they look forward to the future. For I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Looking at what Matthew Henry had to say on this verse and this chapter, he said the scope of this verse and the verses around it is to silence the fears and encourage the faith of God's servants. He goes on to say it is a word of caution, it is a word of counsel, and it is a word of comfort. A word that is so often repeated throughout this chapter and other chapters in God's word. It may have been given in particular to the children of Israel of the Babylonish captivity, but given in effect to all of God's people. And I believe appropriate to Minister Nelson and his family today, and to you as a congregation of people. This verse of scripture, goes without saying, has been a real pillar of strength and a great source of encouragement to God's people down through the ages in their different circumstances and situations of life. You see, there may be many things of which we despair. And of course, separation is one of them. Sickness, death, financial loss, just to mention but a few. But in the face of such things and many others beside, it's good to know that still today, as in Isaiah's day, God says to his believing people, fear not. The text is one full of assurance. The phrase, fear not, there, is actually in the form of a commandment. It is not just a word of comfort, but a divine command to be acted upon in obedience to God's word. He's saying by way of command, fear not, and by way of encouragement, fear not. You see, all things are under God's control. We look out across world events today, and it would almost seem that things in the world are spiraling out of control, but not as far as God is concerned. He is still in control. You'll also notice the pronoun I there appears five times in this one verse, highlighting that God himself and none other is the one who is the source of the promise in the text. Looking at these words, we have a threefold promise. He says, fear not, and he says, fear not for this reason. I will strengthen you. And he says, fear not, for I will help you. And he says, fear not, I will uphold thee. And as God's servant goes out from among you into pastures new, go in the strength of God's promise that he will strengthen, that he will help, that he will uphold. And you as a congregation can claim that promise also. Because Mr. Nelson's future and your future as a congregation is as bright as the promises of God. Now, thinking about the text for a moment, we find here the promise that God strengthens his people. I will strengthen thee. Hence he says, fear not. And there you have the thought of inward strength, particularly strength of mind. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25, we have those very, very beautiful words where the Lord says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And again in Deuteronomy 33 and 27, that all familiar and beautiful text often claimed by God's people in an hour of need, the eternal God is thy refuge and underneath the everlasting arms. And we like to put our own version in that, don't we? Most people do. I don't know what the translation is, but normally we would say the eternal God is thy refuge and roundabout and underneath. We put in the wee bit roundabout, and why not? Because he is roundabout his people. And there are many examples in God's word where God stood by his servants in difficult times. For example, Joshua found God's grace to strengthen him. When God instructed Moses, you remember, concerning his successor, Joshua, Moses was told to encourage him and to strengthen him. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, in the verse 28, the Bible says this, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Joshua was not physically weak. Not at all, but he certainly needed inward strength for the new challenge that lay ahead of him. It was a big thing to step into Moses' shoes and be the leader of God's people and take them into the promised land. And a whole new challenge lies before God's servant, and a whole new challenge lies before you as a congregation. But God says, I will strengthen you. Fear not. And his grace is sufficient in every situation. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, in the verse 23, the Bible says this, and he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. More importantly, the Lord himself imparted inner strength, encouraging Joshua by his promises and by his presence, by his precepts. And folks, there'd be time when you as a congregation will, and I say this in all honesty, mourn Mr. Nelson's leaving you. And yet in that hour, you must claim the promises of God, remembering this, that the will of God is good, and it's perfect, and it's acceptable. Mr. Nelson wouldn't want to be here outside the will of God, nor indeed would you want him outside the will of God. That, however, doesn't make the parting easy at all. Elijah, he found grace, God's grace to strengthen him, because after his great victory over the false prophets of Baal in Mount Carmel, why, that elation and jubilation, it was soon turned into depression when Jezebel sought for his life. He could take on 450 false prophets, and he could defeat them, but he feared one woman. And we find him in the wilderness. And he is physically drained and cast down and despondent and discouraged. Yet God comes and God ministers to him. First of all, by the angel who provided for his physical needs. And then directly in a still small voice, giving Elijah that inner necessary strength to go on. Isn't it amazing how God provided for his servant? Ravens, they're scavengers. They usually eat all the sea. And yet God used them to provide for his servant. And God has his ways of coming to us in our hour of need. And then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself found grace to strengthen him. You remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and 44, the Bible says this, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, the Garden of Gethsemane experience was a crushing experience. And that word agony, according to Vine, refers primarily to emotional stress and anguish, for his physical sufferings had not yet begun. But it was just there at that such a time, in verse 43, that we read, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And as far as the Lord Jesus Christ was concerned, his Father provided the necessary strength. And so it is with all of God's people. So it is with you as a congregation, with Mr. Nelson and his family. God gives the necessary strength to his people. In Ephesians chapter 3, in the verse 16, the great apostle Paul said this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And again, this verse that we have taken as our text, where the Lord says, fear not, I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will strengthen you. That word dismayed, be not dismayed, means don't look around anywhere else. We just have to look to the Lord. And his grace is always sufficient. For as Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. To move on quickly, there's also the fact that God supports his people. For he says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. And folks, at all times in our daily life and Christian experience, all of us stand in need of help. But there are times when we stand in need of it more, such as today, days that lie ahead. I will help thee. God is with and beside and alongside his people. And of course, had we read the earlier verses of this chapter, but for sake of time, we omitted them, They refer to different craftsmen coming together to help and to encourage one another. And yet, over and beyond that, God says, I'll help you. Now, God supports us in the trials of life. And folks, this is a bit of a trial, isn't it? We wouldn't want this to happen. We wouldn't want the change to come. You were happy with your minister. He was happy with you. But it may come to some as a trial. And again, regarding the sons of Reuben, in 1 Chronicles 5:20, it says this, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. When the sons of Reuben went to war with the Hagarites, God was alongside them to help them. And this is a truth. Mr. Nelson may be going to a new charge, but that doesn't mean that you're left alone. There's God alongside to help. God supports us in the tragedies of life, and there's many a good Christian home today. And this time of year will not bring much joy to them because of the tragedies that have befallen them. And in Matthew 15, in the verse 25, we have that touching story of the woman of Canaan and her daughter who was demon-possessed, a real tragedy. And then the Bible says this, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. A very simple prayer, but a very effectual prayer. For the Lord drew alongside and helped her and healed her daughter. She had come to the end of her own human resources. Cast her lot upon the Lord. Maybe there's someone here today and you've sat under Mr. Nelson's ministry and still you're not saved. And oh, that you would come to the end yourself and cast yourself upon the Lord. And he would save. See, C.S. Spurgeon, the great London preacher, said this, God does help in the ordinary concerns of life those who put their trust in him. Hence the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This congregation is in a time of need. But there's one alongside to help. He says, I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee. And then one last thought. God sustains his people because he says, fear not, I will uphold thee. It's a great promise to go forward on. It's a great promise for God's servant and his family to go forward on. It's a great promise for you as a congregation to hold on to. I will uphold thee. The Bible reminds us of how God sustained Moses in Exodus chapter 17. And when Moses, you remember, held up his hands, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. So to keep Moses' hands strong and uplifted and to ensure victory, Aaron and Hur stirred up the hands of Moses. They came alongside to help. It's a picture of God's man. In the busy task of God's work, feeble himself, being upheld by the mighty power of God. And so God supports his people today. And I believe as Mr. Nelson goes to Ballinahinch that God will uphold him, God will support him, and God will provide every need. Folk, it's not easy. It's traumatic after 10 years living in this area, living in the same house, to have to uproot all that and move to pastures new and among people many you don't know. But God gives grace. God sustained David in a very special way, because in that Psalm 63 in verse 8, remember the Lord said, or David said of the Lord, "Thy right hand upholdeth me." He was in the wilderness of Judah. He was hounded and hated by Saul. You see, Saul should have been doing the Lord's work. He was doing the devil's work. He was hunting down God's servant. But David could testify to the right hand of God upholding him. And I believe that will be the portion of God's servant. It'll be the portion of this congregation. Paul, speaking of God's support, sustaining grace, he said this, "When I am weak, then am I strong." Think of Hagar in the wilderness, no water, child dying, yet in the wilderness God provided a well, as he always does. Reading just with interest the words of John Knox, the reformer, who knew the wonderful experience of Isaiah 41 and 10, and he said this, "I fear not the tyranny of man, neither yet what the devil can invent against me." And if you get an opportunity, and maybe some already have done, you'll find written on his headstone, "Here lies the man who never feared the face of clay." And all because he's trusted in the God who gave him that wonderful promise, "Fear not. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. And I will strengthen thee." A promise to God's servants and a promise to this congregation. We're going to bow together for a wee word of prayer, folks, and then you'll have opportunity to mingle and to talk with Mr. and Ms. Nelson. I'm not so absolutely sure when they plan to leave the community. It's not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. So he's not running away from you. But still, it's the end of an era in the congregation.